Ramsey TV.
If you haven't noticed, God is not exactly trying to make friends. In fact, he has laid a pretty solid foundation of purposely keeping the vast, vast majority of humanity from knowing him, preventing the vast majority of humanity from knowing him. And we see this principle most excellently described in Matthew chapter 13, when Jesus unfolds to the disciples the secrets of the kingdom. Now, I know this is the circumcision kingdom, but this principle applies to us as well. The principle applies to us. Let's look at verse 44, first of all, from Matthew 13. Then I want to go up a little further and deal with the part where the disciples ask him why he speaks in parables. This is verse 44 of Matthew 13. Like is the kingdom of the heavens to a treasure hidden in a field, finding which a man hides it, and in his joy is going away and is selling all, whatever he has, and is buying the field. In this parable, the field is the world. And God sold everything he had. And we need not look further than the fact that God gives his only begotten Son to purchase the entire field, the entire world, the entire cosmos, the entire universe. So God has bought everything with the blood of his Son. Now he can have fun. He's got the field, so he has the treasure within the field. The treasure within the field are those he calls to himself. In the parable here in the book of Matthew, the treasure is, of course, the sons of Israel, specifically the disciples. They are initiated into the secrets of the kingdom. But when you read of why Christ spoke to the masses in parables, it's really a shocking truth. Now, I'm going to go there, but I want to touch on John 6:54, because this is an amazing passage. This is when Jesus tells the people that unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part of me. Stating it positively, he says, whoever eats my body and drinks my blood has aeonian life. And the scripture specifically says that after this saying, on this particular day, many people stopped following him. Why? Because he sounded crazy. If you're trying to win friends and influence people, you don't say seemingly crazy things like that. Of course, it was metaphoric, just as when our Lord held up the bread at the Last Supper and said, "This is my body." It was a metaphor, but millions and millions, hundreds of millions of people mistake it for literal truth, and they make a wacky teaching out of it. We know the Catholic religion has done this, but it's not just the Catholics. There are so many times where God wrote the scriptures to be misunderstood, that you cannot come to any other conclusion but that this bird is driving me crazy. This bird didn't start squawking until I started talking. I start talking, the bird starts squawking. This is another way God pushes people away. I'm not gonna watch a video from a guy smoking a cigarette on his patio at dawn with a bird squawking in a tree. Are you kidding me? Well, no. Perfect. God doesn't want hardly anyone to come to him now, because he is so delighted to reveal secrets to an intimate group of people. And in the circumcision gospel, this was his disciples. In Paul's gospel, it's the body of Christ. Listen, the scriptures are so difficult to understand, and the things God does are so strange. I think of a line from Jesus Christ Superstar, one of the last scenes where Judas is singing and he says, "If you had come today, you could have reached a whole nation. Israel in 4 BC had no mass communication." In other words, you're God. And the implication was God needed a PR guy. God needed somebody who could market him, who could get him to the masses, who could prevent him from saying things like, "Eat my body, drink my blood." Because then you could have reached the whole nation. But since God is God, the only conclusion we can reach is that he didn't want at that time to reach the whole nation. And he does not now want to reach the whole world. And this is because of the treasure. But see, you have to understand that he already bought the entire field. So he has the world. He's got it in his back pocket. It's guaranteed all creation will be liberated from this bondage of death and frustration and sin. That's guaranteed. We know that from Paul. 1 Corinthians 15:22. Romans 5, 18-19, Colossians 1, 16-20, Romans 11:36, Romans 11:32, on and on it goes. Philippians 2:10, Ephesians 1:10, I mean, we know that for a fact. So now that he's got it, and I really love this parable, and in his joy is going away and is selling all, whatever he has, and is buying that field. I want to emphasize in his joy. It's like God is toying with everything now. He's got it, and now he can play with it. And his main desire in playing with it is to extravagantly bless those he has chosen to be his treasure. And for us, as members of the body of Christ, we are his treasure. And he is forcibly pushing the rest of the world from him. The mistake people make is in thinking that God is really trying hard. God is really trying hard to get the world, really trying hard to get people to like him, really trying hard to be understood, really trying hard to be loved. And he's so hapless. He's so not good at it. And so God is mocked by this. Scripture is so obtuse, so strangely worded in so many places, so easy to be misunderstood. And then there's the, quote, problem. For us, it's not a problem. It's a joke. It's fun. God purposely mistranslates the scriptures in order to deceive billions of people into thinking that he's a God of eternal torment, and that he depends on human beings to save themselves. Then in other places, he talks about grace, and so the world just throws up their hands, and they give up, because it's too complicated. It's too crazy. And so, I think it was easier I think it was easier for people before God started speaking. It was easier to see him, to appreciate him, to love him by the eloquent language of the creation. People look at the creation. And of course there's a God. But God's not happy with that. He wants to have fun. He wants to turn the entire world from him just so he can spoil his chosen ones. And we see this happening in Matthew 13. Again, this is part of the circumcision gospel, but it's a principle and it applies to the body of Christ. So his disciples say to him, "Why are you speaking to the people in parables?" And this is our Lord's answer. The question occurs in verse 10 of Matthew 13. And the answer is in verse 11. I'll read the question. "And approaching the disciples say to him, 'Why are you speaking in parables?'" To them, that is, to those outside. "Answering, he said to them, 'To you has it been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of the heavens, yet to those it has not been given.'" This is an active pushing away of most of the world. Jesus elaborates, "For anyone who has, to him shall be given, and he shall have a superfluity. Yet anyone who has not, that also which he has shall be taken away from him." This is nothing less than reverse redistribution. We know that the communist doctrine requires redistribution of wealth. The commies take from the rich and give to the poor. Not God, no. God takes from the poor and gives to the rich. He lavishes those who have with more. And those who are just scrapping along, trying to get something from the Word of God. This is sad in a way. It's perplexing until you realize that God is doing this on purpose. It's perplexing until you realize that he already bought the entire field. Unless you know that, this is intolerable. God's operations during the Aeonian times are intolerably, really wicked and evil. Unless you realize that he has already bought the field. Everyone ever born into the human race is guaranteed to live for eternity with God. That's a good thing to know. Most people don't know that. No, they don't. But we do. And here's why. To you and you and you, to me, has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of the heavens in the body of Christ, the secrets of the universe. Why things exist. They exist in order to experience evil, to learn the contrast of evil and good, and then to be blessed eternally with good, with love, with grace. In the meantime, God loves to lavish his treasured ones with revelations, with gifts, with blessings. Our Lord goes on, "Therefore in parables am I speaking to them, seeing that observing they are not observing, and hearing they are not hearing." This is a phenomenon that you show somebody something right in front of their eyes. We show people verses like Isaiah 45:7, "I create evil." We show people verses like 1 Timothy 4:10, "God's the savior of all humanity." And it's sitting right in front of them. They have eyes. They can see the passage. I told a guy one time that God created evil. and that evil was not necessarily sin. When God does it, it's definitely not sin. Evil means to break. God is purposely breaking things in order to heal them. He's purposely killing in order to make alive. I told a guy this one time, and he said, well, I couldn't ever believe that unless I saw it in the King James Version. I said, well, this is the King James Version. And I showed it to him in the King James Version, held up the verse, and he goes, he looks at it. He has eyes. And he said, I don't believe that. Perfectly fits observing, they are not observing. Hearing, they are not hearing. Neither are they understanding. And filled up in them, this is verse 14, is the prophecy of Isaiah that is saying, in hearing, you will be hearing and may by no means be understanding. And observing, you will be observing and by no means be perceiving. By no means. There's no amount of Bible study. There's no amount of worship songs. There's no amount of dedicated Bible reading that is going to cause these people who are not now chosen as the specific treasure to understand God, to understand the scriptures. Paul verifies this when he says, speaks of those who are forever learning, yet not at any time able to come to a realization of the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3. They're observing, they're hearing, yet they cannot at any time come to a realization of the truth. Now, speaking of Israel specifically, Paul says, our Lord says in verse 15 of Matthew 13, for stoutened is the heart of this people. And we know from Paul gives us the secret that God has purposely hardened Israel. Stoutened is the heart of this people, with their ears heavily they hear, and with their eyes they squint, lest, this is a huge word, lest at some time they may be perceiving with their eyes, and with their ears should be hearing, and with their heart may be understanding, and should be turning about, and I shall be healing them. But lest that happen, lest these people who I don't want to come to me now, lest they start coming to me, lest they start perceiving, seeing with their eyes, hearing with their ears. To keep that from happening, in other words, I'm going to confound them with hard sayings, eat my body, drink my blood, with scriptures that on the surface appear to contradict themselves until you get a properly translated scripture, or until you understand that there are two gospels in the New Testament, the gospel to Israel and the gospel to the nations. This is an astounding word. So our Lord is saying, I speak to them in parables lest they get it. Because if they would get it, I would have to give them everything, but I don't want to give them everything. Not yet. Because for now, I want to give everything I have to my treasure, to my people, to the body of Christ. And to those, and this seems so unfair and so mean, really. But even to those who are grasping and who want to know, any little thing they do have, I'm going to take it from them and give it to you. He takes from the poor and gives to the rich. It's so unfair. As a man would measure, as a human would measure, fairness. But I don't want you to think of it that way. I want you to think of it as God's special attention to his treasure. He's going to eventually give knowledge and wisdom and understanding to everyone. But for now, we are his special treasure, and it delights God. It delights him to, at this time, give everything he has to his specific treasure, which, speaking of us, is the body of Christ.